Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. The Gospel of the Kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. In the time that we're in right now, focusing on Jesus Christ, absolutely paramount above everything, but also knowing what's going on around us, the signs of the times, so that we know what to do about it, like the sons of Issachar, is also critical. And that's the word for today. We need right now to understand the signs of the times and what to do about them. And there is a ton of disinformation going on out there right now. Later in the show, 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, General Paul Vallely is going to join me with a fresh intelligence brief on the situation in Ukraine. I'm going to share right now what I know, what we're having corroborated by eyewitnesses on the ground in Ukraine about the situation that is happening there. And there's a lot of new things that we need to talk about. And so let's get started with your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, we are going to stay with the Ukraine situation for quite a bit here. Now, first, I want to set the stage for talking about this. We need to follow the example best articulated by Sun Tzu. I know some people say Sun Tzu. We're going to say Sun Tzu. All right. Sun Tzu said that we need to know ourselves, know the enemy, and then know the terrain. And if you did that, you would win in virtually every battle. So we know ourselves. Right now here in the United States, the pretender is weak. Countries across the globe see the United States administration that is pretending to administrate as very weak, and they're taking advantage of it. Four main actors, but two main counterstates. You have the communist counterstate. You have the jihadi counterstate or the Islamic counterstate that are trying to destroy the United States under the auspices of globalism, controlling everything at the very top. Again, this is a broad overview. So with the communist counterstates, you have two main actors, the Russians and the Chinese right now. For the jihadi counterstates, you have two main actors, Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood. All of those are attempting to take advantage of American weakness right now. And if you see one thing happen, it could happen in Taiwan, could happen in Ukraine, could happen in the Middle East, whatever. You see one thing happen, it's very likely that all of those other actors are going to take advantage of it. Now, understanding the second part of this is understanding your enemy. Now, I'm using that term intentionally because each one of those actors, Russia, China, Iran, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which is currently with safe haven in Turkey, all of those have already declared war against the United States of America. That is a fact. They are operating in the fourth generational warfare sphere, as first outlined and really compiled by William S. Lind. The Chinese call this unrestricted warfare. The Russians call this hybrid warfare. So this is warfare in virtually every aspect of humanity, trade, finances, economics. And notice I've not mentioned yet kinetic warfare. Medicine, politics, information, cyber, and the list goes on. They've already declared war against us in the United against the United States. And in the United States, we don't even seem to grasp a concept that we're actually at war. And the first rule of a fight is to know you're in a fight. I'm hearing some very and I'm going to be polite here, ignorant, asinine things that are being said on both sides. You're hearing it on the left, and unfortunately, I'm hearing it from some people that I would trust normally on the right, as if those two paradigms still exist because everybody relates to them. I don't believe in a right-left paradigm, just for the record. But what is very clear to me throughout all of this is people are not reading the actual words of our adversaries, not studying truly our adversaries, not only what they believe, but what their strategies are, what their doctrines are, what history is, what geography is. They're studying it, though. They're studying the United States from that perspective. And you can't understand geopolitics without the geo. You can't study geostrategy without the geo. And we keep missing huge chunks of things and claiming, oh, Putin doesn't have any reason to invade. Really? You clearly have not read his own words. And we're going to get into that here very shortly. But that brings us now to this article from Deb Kefile. Russia's claim of moving troops from Ukraine border is false. Satellite imagery appears to show some movement. But the wholesale withdrawal of Russian troops does not appear to actually be happening. In fact, according to Deb Kefile, Russia added 7,000 extra troops in recent days. Now, General Valley is going to give us the latest update on this here in a few minutes. But this is what Deb Kefile in Israeli intelligence is tracking right now. As I brought up S2 Underground the other day and some of the satellite imagery that they were bringing up, it was very clear that there were encampments very close to the Ukrainian border. But for our purposes, NATO and Israelis are saying, no, there isn't, really isn't a movement of troops back from the border. And I want to define that wholesale movement. There could be some troops coming off the border. That could be happening. But wholesale movement, in fact, in a couple of those slides I showed last show, it showed actually they were moving toward the Ukrainian border. All right. Next thing coming to us from Deb Kefile. Exchange of fire ongoing in eastern Ukraine. This also is being corroborated by reports from what is called the Euromaidan Press. They've got a great Facebook page. And this is the quote from Euromaidan Press. Russian hybrid forces reportedly escalated hostilities all across a war zone in Ukraine's Donbas region using heavy artillery pieces, mortars, and various lighter weapons. This was corroborated by one of our eyewitnesses on the ground in Ukraine, close to the Russian border, that in fact, there has been an uptick in shelling and cross-border fire that has been happening, and specifically happening yesterday, but it has been increasing over the last couple of weeks. Okay, so we have corroboration across three separate things. The next thing is coming to us from Deb Kefile. Russia expels U.S. deputy chief at Moscow embassy. Epoch Times also has an article on this, and this is the quote from the U.S. State Department. We call on Russia to end its baseless expulsions of U.S. diplomats and staff and to work productively to rebuild our missions. Now more than ever, it is critical that our countries have the necessary diplomatic personnel in place to facilitate communication between our governments. So that was the official statement on this expulsion of the second in command in Moscow. Normally, this kind of thing doesn't happen if you're kind of moving toward peace. I understand the Russians may be using this for leverage in negotiations. I get that. But you have the largest deployment of Russian conventional forces since World War II to this front in battalion tactical groups, and then you have these things also happening. So again, I'm just reporting objective facts of what we know. This brings us to the next part of this. Also coming to us from Euromaidan Press, Ukraine, Poland, and the United Kingdom are officially launching an alliance. You can read about this article there in Euromaidan Press, which has been doing some great reporting on kind of the ins and outs of the geopolitics that aren't being reported wholesale in the Western press. But The Ukraine's foreign minister announced at a press conference with the UK foreign secretary that today we have the honor and pleasure to announce the launch of a new tripartite format of cooperation between Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and Poland. And so, again, this does not seem like there's a de-escalation happening, especially since the head of the Foreign Office mentioned the aid that the United Kingdom has already provided to Ukraine, defensive weapons, training of 22,000 Ukrainian servicemen, and 88 million pounds of aid aimed at Ukraine's energy independence. Which, as we talked about on the show on Tuesday, Ukraine has the 23rd largest reserves of natural gas in the world. Poland, I think, was like 54th. And that there was very clearly overtures to start developing those gas fields in Ukraine to lessen dependence on Russia. Well, obviously, Russia is not going to like that. All right, I'm going to move next to understanding Vladimir Putin. I have been hearing a ton of people who claim to just have an opinion that Putin has no reason to invade Ukraine and has no reason to do the things that he's doing, so it's just being blown out of proportion in the West. I want to caveat this by saying I am not a fan of the pretender, as everyone knows. I'm not trying to defend him. I don't believe in trying to go to war or something like that right now, and nobody that has been to war ever wants to see that happen. I'm not trying to promote war. In the United States, if we want to go to war, we go before Congress, we have a public debate about it, we have a declaration of war. That is the constitutional process. However, I've actually read what Putin has written and what he has said. And it is very, very clear his stance and the Soviet stance before him on Ukraine. So I want to talk about this very quickly. In 1991, then Soviet Secretary General Gorbachev, in August of 1991, he told the Ukrainian journalist, quote, "There can be no union without Ukraine," end quote. The Communist Party of Bolivia, okay, so now we're going to South America, even said of all the Soviet republics, the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic was without a doubt the most important from all points of view. So from their point of view, Ukraine was key to the Soviet Empire. It was key because you had essentially the breadbasket of Europe there, but you also had the manufacturing center of Europe. And as many have argued, the heart of the culture was really there in Ukraine. I went personally when I was in Kharkiv. I stood outside the armored warfare center that they have there, and I'd studied that place when I was an armor officer in 1996 and 1997. And as I learned more about that, I learned that there and more about their culture, I learned the importance of Ukraine as central to the Slavic culture, the country itself, the spirit that was there. And this is where it gets interesting. Soviet KGB defector Anatoly Galitsyn, in his book New Lies for Old, and you can look these up and check them for yourself, he asserted that the alleged fall of the Soviet Union was actually a deception perpetrated against the West. The KGB was always in control. I would agree with that based on my analysis. He has predicted also that the Soviet Union as an empire would reemerge, but as a Russian empire. This was also predicted in the book When the Almond Tree Blossoms by David Akeman. Many of you have heard me mention this book on the show because it was so predictive of the situation we're in now in the world. It was written in 1992, and interestingly enough, on the back cover of the hardcover copy, it was endorsed by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who ended up being an advisor to virtually every Democrat president in the modern era. So let's get to Putin himself. Here's what Putin said in 2005. So this is April 25th, 2005. His annual address to the Federal Assembly of the Russian Federation. Now, I've added some words here where the translation is a little bit clearer from people that have read this in Russian. So I'll tell you where these parts are. Okay, above all, but this is from his actual page translated into English on the Russian page, okay, that kept the transcript of this address. Quote, above all, we should acknowledge that the collapse of the Soviet Union was a major, and some people translate greatest, geopolitical disaster, and some people translate that word disaster as catastrophe, of the 20th century. And he doesn't say 20th, but that's what he's talking about, 20th century. As for the Russian nation, it became a genuine drama, and that can probably be better translated as tragedy. Tens of millions of our co-citizens and compatriots found themselves, listen to this, outside Russian territory. So Putin was saying very clearly that the fall of the Soviet Union put what he considered Russians outside of Russian territory. Then he addressed what was called the Valdai International Discussion Club, September 19, 2013. And here's what Putin said. Quote, the 20th century, or 21st century promises to become the century of major changes. The era of the formation of major geopolitical zones, as well as financial and economic, cultural, civilizational, and military and political areas. That is why integrating with our neighbors is our absolute priority. So what he was saying is integration with the neighbors to Russia was critical as these major geopolitical zones developed in the 21st century, and they, Putin, Russia, needed to be at the center of it. Then he wrote this, and this is last July. You can go look this up. Again, Travis has got a copy of this right now. I think we're going to put this up on the screen. July 12th, 2021, regarding the historical unity of Russians and Ukrainians by Vladimir Putin. He actually wrote an article about this. And here's what he said, quote, during the recent direct line when I was asked about Russian-Ukrainian relations, I said that Russians and Ukrainians were one people, a single whole. These words were not driven by some short-term considerations or prompted by the current political context. Remember, he's writing this last July. Then he continues, it is what I have said on numerous occasions and what I firmly believe. He continues down, to have a better understanding of the present and look into the future, we need to turn to history. Certainly, it is impossible to cover in this article all the developments that have taken place over the more than 1,000 years. But I will focus on the key pivotal moments that are important for us to remember both in Russia and Ukraine. And here's the history. I want everybody to pay attention to this because this is what he believes. Russians, Ukrainians, and Belarusians. Now, Belarusia is firmly allied with Russia right now. Putin has moved troops even into Belarus. Are all descendants of ancient Rus. So Russians, Ukrainians, and Belarusians are all descendants of ancient Rus, which was the largest state in Europe. Slavic and other tribes across the vast territory from Lagoda, Novgorod, and Pskov to Kiev and Chernigov were bound together by one language. So, okay, he's establishing unity with the Ukrainians in his mind because of the language unit, language connection. Then he says economic ties, the rule of the princes of the Rurik dynasty. In other words, economically, they're tied together, in his opinion. And governmentally, they're tied together. And after the baptism of Rus, the Orthodox faith, the spiritual choice made by St. Vladimir, who was both Prince of Novgorod and Grand Prince of Kiev, still largely determines our affinity today. So he's saying they're tied together culturally, by language, economic ties, and governmentally and religiously. He continues with this, and this may be offensive to some people, and I'm sorry for that, but I'm just reading what he wrote. The name Ukraine was used more often in the meaning of the old Russian word Ukraina, or periphery, which is found in written sources from the 12th century referring to various border territories. And the word Ukrainian, judging by archival documents, originally referred to frontier guards who protected the external borders. I want everybody to pay attention to what I just said. frontier guards who protected the external borders. As I mentioned on the last show, geographically, Russia has had three entry points, Kazakhstan, Georgia, and I said Georgia, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Chechnya region, and then the third one was Poland, Ukraine. Belarus being right next to Poland, just so we're clear on the geography. What he is saying is Ukraine was the natural buffer and protector of Russia, and that is how he continues to see it to this day. So when somebody says, why does Vladimir Putin have a reason to invade? He sees Ukraine and Russia already as one people, as one whole, tied together economically, tied together religiously, tied together by language, tied together by culture, tied together by governmental history, and tied together by religion. These are his words that he wrote last July, and now we are here with the largest deployment of Russian conventional forces on the borders of Ukraine since World War II. We need to understand our enemies and understand how other people see this. The United States, when it was first forming, they called it manifest destiny. That we had a manifest destiny to conquer the entire continent from coast to coast. And we're looking now at the Russians, and Putin is saying something very similar, that there needs to be a manifest destiny of this neo-Soviet state because of these commonalities, and people are ignoring it. We need to know our history. And then the last thing is, according to Sun Tzu, we need to know the terrain. What's up with the terrain? Well, the ground is frozen there. In fact, I double-checked the temperatures, and at night, it is still way below freezing Fahrenheit. It does rise above freezing during the day, but the ground is frozen and is still easily able to hold tanks and BMPs. Those are small personnel carriers for infantry in that area of the world. So the terrain is there as well. This is why we are going to do the intelligence brief here in a few minutes with General Vallely. But I wanted to give you the overview, just looking again at objective facts, what they're saying, where things are, what's going on, to understand the place we're in the world today. All right, I'm going to move next on to the national front. Project Veritas uncovers Biden's hidden vaccine agenda. I want to touch on this quickly. In the latest, and this coming to us from the New American, in its latest stroke of ambush journalism, Project Veritas exposes a bureaucratic executive admitting the Biden administration's long-term COVID vaccine plans, which include, wait for it, annual jabs, even for children as young as 6 months old. So that's their plan. Also on the national front, and we're going to talk a little bit about this coming up, threatening to come and get us, freedom. Which is a very good thing, because finally the people are standing up and saying enough is enough. Now, we don't necessarily expect Governor Inslee to listen, because Governor Inslee, this coming to the regional front, Governor Inslee is saying one more month for indoor face coverings. No more months for indoor face coverings. The charade is ended. And most people that I'm running into on the street totally agree with this and say enough is enough. End all the mandates and end them now. All right. Well, in times like these, it's courage, steadfastness, being moored to the values that have made this country great, and being unwavering that gets us through times like this. And that is where I want to end the briefing. Let's stand tall as Americans. Thank you very much for everybody that has been praying for us. And as always, if you get a chance, go to Patriot Radio on Podbean, Amazon, Spotify, and Gab, and Getter, and MeWe, and all these other alternative, but really true social media sites, and get your information there. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us as well. A lot been going on over there in Ukraine, and I know that some people have been sending some specific notes, and that really touches our heart. Means a lot to Victoria and myself. Well, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And one of the greatest freedom-loving Americans that I know in this day and age, Major General Paul Vallely, retired, joining us once again. He is the head of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation and has been fighting for freedom and liberty for a very, very long time. General Vallely, thank you once again for joining us on Patriot Radio.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for your kind invitation, as always.
So I'll just jump right into it. What on earth is going on in Ukraine for real? There's so much on both sides, and it all can't be true. What's actually happening?
Well, I had a briefing this morning. Are we getting feedback, Rat, or is it me?
We don't have any on our end.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm getting on my end for some reason. I'm getting an echo back. Okay. But anyhow, I had an hour and a half briefing this morning from a Ukrainian intel operative. And he really laid out what was happening over there. It's not being portrayed as it is on the ground. Eastern Ukraine, 60% living in Eastern Ukraine seem to be pro-Russian. Many of them now are getting their passports from Ukrainian to Russian passport. Others are moving to Poland and into Germany. Ukrainians also have a very elaborate biological program on that they've been working with the Chinese on, developing new variants and things like that. The other point is that Ukraine is, according to our sources, the most corrupt country in Europe. So when you look through Putin's eyes, he wants to make sure that there's no NATO nations on his border bringing in missiles, NATO troops, and he's 100% believe in that and desires that. So he will have an interest in two parts. Number one, taking care of the pro-Russian people that may want to be a part of the Soviet Union. And you have what they call the very well-established neo-Nazis in Ukraine who have infiltrated into all the departments, the military, the government ministries. So Zelenko, the president of Ukraine, is in a very precarious situation. If he goes against the neo-Nazi,
all right, did we lose a feed? Okay.
I don't know why I'm getting that feed. But...
all right, General Vallely, we're going to have to cut the feed here, and then I'll have the radio station call you back. We're having some sort of a technical massive feedback over the airwaves as well. All right. So we're going to continue right now. So just to recap for everybody that can hear me still, what General Valley was saying is that right now things are not being portrayed as they actually are happening on the ground there. First and foremost, some Ukrainians are having their passports changed into Russian. Some have fled the country. And President Zelensky's address the other day actually mentioned this, that some people were fleeing the country, and he was asking them, giving them a chance to be patriotic Ukrainians in return. But now what General Valley is saying is that some are, according to his source, are changing their passports into Russian and fleeing the country to places like Germany, and then I would presume also Belarus and Russia proper itself. He then continued that the problem is right now inside of the Ukrainian government is that a rise of neo-Nazis has infiltrated the Ukrainian government. So Zelensky has them already in the government. And he also is fighting in regards to the Russians and the negotiations that are going on there. So we're going to try to get him back on here. Travis, are we good? Is he back on? Okay. All right. So as we get that connected back, the important part about this is that things are very – Zelensky is in a very precarious position in Ukraine right now. And that kind of a position where you're almost already split may again be used by the Russians as an excuse to actually invade, which, of course, then implicates a whole bunch of other things, especially with this new agreement between Poland and the United Kingdom and Ukraine itself. General Valley, do we have you back on? All right. We will get that back on. I find it hilarious that it's always during the most important things that you have massive technical problems. So anyway, all right. I want to go to where he was leading and remind everybody that according to Debka File, so Israeli intelligence sources, and NATO, there really hasn't been any sort of a Russian troop pullback. Seems like it's more diplomatic tactics stalling for next week after the Olympics are finished and continuing that direction. Now, Zelensky has very clearly delineated the Ukrainian position as Ukraine is a sovereign nation. And they did a National Day of Unity on Wednesday. There are clearly some people in Ukraine that are saying, nope, we're done with Ukraine. And they feel as if they want to go toward the Russian side. Now, there's clearly some people in Ukraine who do not want to do that. And that goes back historically a long ways. And I want to highlight some of the history on that. Back in World War II, you can read about this in the book called Target Patton by Robert Wilcox, Target Patton by Robert Wilcox, where he talked about the clear fighting that happened in Western Ukraine against Joseph Stalin and what was called the Promethean League, where Eastern European leaders would very clearly not want the communists coming in because they'd been under communism. Some of them, and knew what it was about. And so they were fighting in Eastern Europe, and they had this Promethean League that banded together these different groups. And part of that was to stop Joseph Stalin. The other part of it was for those countries to actually maintain their autonomy. Right now, we're seeing something similar begin to happen, as if Ukraine might actually split internally based on some of the things that General Valley was saying. Travis, are we good now?
We have him on VMix still, if you want, but there's an audio issue.
Has Joe called him? Okay. All right. Let's try to put the general back up on the video. General, can you hear us again? All right, General, can you hear us again? Are we good? All right. So if you could continue with where you left off, that this source was talking about the fact that there was a divide inside not only Ukraine, but also divide inside the government that put Zelensky in a very precarious position.
Well, that's exactly. There is a split going on right now. And I think that's why Putin's hesitating. And he's letting the NATO contingent countries think about the situation. Having Biden and the Americans think about the situation. And he knows full well that many of the Europeans, and I don't know of any Europeans, Norwegian, Swedes, Danish, French, British, German, they're going to put any of their troops on the ground in Ukraine to protect Ukraine. And I think Putin knows that.
Yeah.
And my group, when we analyzed it, we really felt you need to be working with Russia to solve the Ukraine problem. Not threatening war. I mean, we've seen the debacles we've been in and trying to engage in other people's conflicts since World War II. We don't need to put American troops over there in harm's way. So Putin basically, and many think there's no future for NATO. NATO was formed to counter any type of Russian aggression. Russia has not attacked any European nation in 77 years.
So
he's not looking for a fight with the Europeans. He just doesn't want NATO as a great position to put missiles or anything else in the buffer country. And so that's the other part of what's going on over there, man.
So right now, as we look at this, Putin is just trying to pursue Ukraine as a buffer to Western Europe and NATO. You were mentioning that there had been a neo-Nazi infiltration into the Ukrainian government that put Zelensky in a very precarious position. If you could expand on that. It looks like the feed cut. Yep. All right. So part of what the general is saying, that we should be working with the Russians, understanding their history about Ukraine, and that Putin doesn't want to pick a fight with Western Europe, but he does want the buffer. I want to also highlight that as we've been talking about this, the Israelis very clearly see this kind of destabilization not in their interest, because they get help both from Russia and from the West. And so any sort of chaos that happens in Eastern Europe, any sort of chaos that happens in Ukraine, you know, could obviously be exploited by Israel's enemies, Iran, and the Muslim Brotherhood. And we're already starting to hear Syria reports that there is an Israeli missile attack on the Golan. And so we're hearing some of that destabilization happen there in Israel as well. All right, looks like we got you back, General Valley. If you could continue on that neo-Nazi infiltration into the Ukrainian government and how it put Zelensky in a precarious position.
Well, the intel operative we had reporting from says these neo-Nazis are nasty, and they are responsible for a lot of deaths. They promote prostitution in Ukraine. They're responsible for some of the dysfunctional areas that the government under Zelensky is trying to improve. But they're standing right by his shoulder, and that's what puts him in a situation. If he goes against the neo-Nazis and tries to appease Putin anyway, he's done 24 hours. That's what they're telling me.
So what?
I guess the... Well, the solution is, what are we going to do? Well, we have an incompetent president, secretary of state. I'm not sure our senior intel people know what the hell's going on over there to any accuracy. They've been wrong. They were supposed to attack Wednesday, as you recall.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got that.
Yeah. Anytime they put a date on it, it never happens.
Yeah, it's like General Milley contacting the Chinese. But he said, well, we'll let you know if we're going to attack. You remember that?
I do, yeah.
General Milley?
Yes.
I mean, as the world turns, we're in the twilight zone, Matt.
So, General, what do you think is going to happen based on your source here over the next couple of weeks? Do you think that they will do something in Ukraine? You think that there might be a further incursion into Ukraine after the Olympics, or do you think it's all in the diplomatic sphere right now?
Well, one option is to try to secure eastern Ukraine, the pro-Russian people, and maybe control that part of Ukraine. And that would be a bargaining chip then that they would use.
Yep.
And they would have the support of the people in eastern Ukraine. They already have Crimea supporting Russia. And Russia controls that. That's sure. But, you know, it's like China trying to put missiles in Cuba, like the Russians tried to do before. That's how Putin's look at NATO, NATO countries, the U.S. putting missiles and armed forces in Ukraine, which is a buffer. So if we were smart, we need to work with Russia for the betterment and the future of Ukraine, and it can be done.
So there's been quite a bit of argument over the gas fields in Ukraine being developed, and that Putin obviously would not want that to happen because he would lose a little bit of leverage over Europe. How would you address something like that as far as an issue? I mean, that seems like a very sticky thing. Most countries want to be energy independent, except obviously the pretender in the White House right now. Most nations want to go toward energy independence, but that obviously has some geostrategic and geopolitical implications as well.
Well, there again, I think you can work with the Russians. The Germans are certainly dependent upon the natural gas coming out of Russia, and in the Nord Link line that goes through the sea from Russia directly into Germany. But certainly energy is a big part of it. They have to figure out how to share the energy, and they'll all make profit. That's the end game to me.
Well, how does China exploit this? That's the next big question. How does China exploit this issue?
I don't think China's going to exploit it at all. I think they're going to do their own thing and go after Taiwan. I think they're two separate things.
Do you think that they would try to time it close? You know, if Putin decides to move further into eastern Ukraine, that they would try to go after Taiwan at the same time?
Well, I don't think Putin's going to tell the Chinese anything.
Right. But, I mean, will the Chinese take advantage of that situation? Because clearly they have designs on Taiwan. Well, there's no question. Yeah.
Well, no, they've been planning it. Is it the one nation, the one China? Sure, they've been planning it for decades. They're going to let the Olympics go by here, and then we'll see what move they make. They know the timing is correct because we have a week in the United States. We have a United States in turmoil. We got freedom convoys going to our north through Canada, shutting down Ottawa. We have new convoys that are going to be crossing America. We don't know where they're going to go yet. Well, we can see the freedom convoys are going to happen.
Amen.
And if you remember, Matt, remember the old movie Network?
Yes.
And the member of the network, it was Peter Finch who started it. Yeah, we're not going to take it anymore. The Canadians are saying we're not going to take it anymore. And America, we're not going to take it anymore. This is it, 2022, year of the awakening. Take America back.
Well, that brings up a very interesting point. Obviously, none of this that we're talking about would have happened if Trump was still in the White House. But also, do we see free and fair elections in 2024? Clearly, the country is coming against a pretender right now. Clearly, the people are upset. And it doesn't matter. They're, you know, in D.C., they're not listening to anybody. How do we effectively stand up in this time right now? And does Biden stay for the last 2 years of his term?
Well, first of all, we haven't corrected the malfunctioning election system that we had at the precinct and county level in 2020, I mean. And until they correct it, get rid of the machines and go to voting, control the ballots. I mean, there's a lot of things these states have not done, and this has been told to me from Arizona to Pennsylvania to Michigan to Georgia. So we can ensure that the elections will be fair. And we know the Communist Democratic Party in the United States is not going to allow, or they're going to do everything they can to make the elections go their way, because they're real scared right now. They're scared rabbits right now because of the debacle that Biden has created in the country.
And so here in the next 6 months, this could literally determine the direction of the United States for the next 20 years.
Absolutely.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. We're part of it, aren't we?
We are. I'm excited.
With the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, we're here. We're going to continue to do what we have to do, along with great patriots like you, Matt, and working with Patriot Radio. And we're going to fight this thing to the end this year, but we're going to get this country turned around.
We are. Now, naturally, the question comes up, and I've had a lot of people asking me this, General Valley. Does Trump actually have a plan this time that is viable, that has enough people that can surround him, that he can bring in to clean this mess up?
I still don't think he has the right people working with him. I'm in touch with a few that have worked in that area. Pat Patel and Mike Flynn and a few others, but I don't see any semblance of a very solid strategic team. I know they came out with a new social media platform. They funded that. They're working that. But unless Trump gets a very good team and gets rid of the malcontents and the people he had working for him before, for the most part, he's got a challenge ahead of him. There's no doubt about it. I don't know who will challenge in the Democratic Party. They really don't have anybody that I see. But they may put up for Ron DeSantis, for example.
This is really how I'm thinking. Okay, the people are awake. It's very clear there's going to be a sea change. But what happens after the sea change? And how do we actually turn some things around and get rid of some of the mechanisms, and particularly make sure that some of the bureaucrats that have been in there don't ever return in any capacity to try to strangle America? How do we fix that system then?
Well, we're going to have to see what Durham continues to come out with, and if he sets up the grand juries or gets the grand juries established to indict these people in the Russian hoax, the China, or the Clinton hacking of the Trump Tower and the White House, all the illegal things that were done by members of Congress and members affiliated with Obama and with Clinton. So that's going to continue to go on. That's my chair, but hopefully Durham's going to really put his foot on the accelerator now after working these past 2 years trying to gather evidence for what really happened. So maybe Trump's working or waiting for something like that to happen. But if I was sitting there and I had 85, 90 million people would vote for me, I'd make sure I have a strategy and a team working now to make sure the elections in 2022 and this coming November go the Patriots' way, not the way of the leftist communist people.
I completely agree, and I think that that's going to be the linchpin, how effective we are in ensuring that all votes that are legally cast count is going to be critical in the restoration of the Republic. It just is. And also the world, candidly, is watching what's going to happen here, because a weak America equals chaos around the world.
Yep, that's right. And we've got to solve our border problem. No one's really solving that problem at all. They're so frustrated on the border. I talked to an individual from Texas today, and they're so frustrated down there. And they're not happy even with the governors not standing up like that, but doing everything they could. So
that's right.
They're going to be looking for a new governor in Texas, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing as well. And that's very clear that people are tired of politicians saying one thing and then doing another with their other hand. Yeah, every time. So,
yeah.
General Valley, in the last couple minutes that we have left, any further information on the Ukraine front that you want to impart to the listeners? And then also, where can people go to get more information and support Stand Up America U.S. Foundation?
You can go to the standupamericaus.org website, or you can sign up for our newsletter on the website, which comes out every Saturday morning. And you can contact us directly on any questions you have. We're doing better analysis than the CIA is right now.
That's a pretty low bar with the CIA sometimes. Oh, and yeah. I did say that over the air. All right. General Valley, again, we have a couple minutes, and I'm sorry for the technical problems we were having earlier, but the source that you had in Ukraine, did he have a message for America?
Well, stand tall, be active, don't be passive. Say what you believe and believe what you say. I know we're all facing this in our different communities, where you have such a diversion and dichotomy of feelings and who to support in the government, who not. Are you a liberal or conservative? Be an American, be a patriot for our children.
Amen. Major General Paul Valley, thank you very much for joining me once again on Patriot Radio. God bless you. And keep up the fight.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. And again, to summarize, knowing how Putin is looking at America and how he's looking at Ukraine, and a lot of the countries that don't want to take on the United States directly have engaged in fourth-generation warfare against us in the cyber sphere and the trade sphere and all these other spheres. But it's like we've never even taken the field in some of these things. Because it's a weak America right now under the pretender's administration. As General Valley said, there are some Ukrainians who are already giving up or at least changing their passports into Russian. Some that have already fled the country and setting the stage for Putin to do a further incursion into eastern Ukraine. It looks like diplomacy is still on the table and Putin's giving a chance for diplomacy to happen right now. But obviously the timing is nothing's really going to happen before the end of the Olympics. They're going to wait till the Olympics are over. China, acting completely independently, very clearly has designs on Taiwan. But as not only we've talked about on this show, other guests have talked about as well, they would look at a weak United States in the window of time that we're in right now as the perfect opportunity to start exploiting some of their generational, decades-long plans. Then you have, of course, the Islamists in the Middle East who would always exploit at any opportunity from Iran to the Muslim Brotherhood. And so today, as we end Patriot Radio, again, if you have not read Putin's own words and how he considers the Ukraine, he is considering Ukraine as one people with Russia, which is why he is continuing to move down this road. Now, as the general said, do the United States need to send troops over there? No. The United States needs to understand where Russia is coming from and approach this issue, not from a you are going to do what we say you're going to do, but approach it from an understanding of the historical, geographic, political, economic, and cultural reasons that the Russians and Vladimir Putin in particular have as a reason to invade Ukraine. Now, for the Ukrainian people, especially Ukrainian patriots who want a sovereign country, that has to be taken into consideration as well. And so this isn't just one versus the other. You're on the Russian side, you know, and that's it. And somehow the Russians are perfect or something like that. KGB kept control effectively of Russia after the fall, and they want a continued Russian empire with the buffers geographically like we've talked about, similar to how the United States did at the beginning, sweeping across the continent here from sea to shining sea. So today, check both sides of the information, understand the full range of everything, and understand, too, that there's always the opportunity for peace. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.